Readings this morning in the lovely and precious name of Jesus. Welcome each one here. My heart was thrilled, my soul was blessed. As we just sang, number 681, and in that last verse, and then we turn to Revelation 21. 681, where the storms of life are past, to the land of endless day, where all tears are wiped away. Thank you for that singing. Brothers and sisters, we also sang from 129. What a day that will be, when his face I shall see. Precious Savior. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Thank you. We want to speak about heaven. Revelation chapter 21 is what we will use mostly. We have here John's revelation of Jesus Christ coming to a close in chapters 21 and 22, where he describes the glorious state of the eternal home of God, and the eternal home of the redeemed of all ages. Revelation chapter 1, there in verse 9. We know that the Apostle John was exiled to the island there called Patmos. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why was he there? For the word of God. He preached the word of God, and for that he was exiled onto an island called Patmos, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Apostle John was faithful in the face of persecution, in the face of trouble, for upholding the name of Jesus. And so he was exiled. What a reward. What a glorious reward and blessing John received for his faithfulness. Even there in exile, where he may have naturally have been discouraged, but maybe he wasn't. But God blessed him there with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And at the end of that revelation, this wonderful glimpse of heaven that John was allowed to see as it was given to him by the hand of an angel. Revelation 21 and 22. Several early church fathers wrote how the Apostle John was exiled to this island of Patmos by the Roman Emperor Domitian around the year AD 95. John suffered for preaching the word of God. He was rewarded. As he was in the Spirit of the Lord, as he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1. This vision, this glorious scene came to John. Verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 21. Brother Fred read here, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, come down out of heaven, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband, adorned for her husband, a new heaven and a new earth are the scene before John, the revelator. Behold the first, the old. At this point in his vision, they are no more. They have passed away. They're gone. Even as the prophet Isaiah in chapter 65 and verse 17 prophesied, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Not only would they be passed, as the prophecy was given to Isaiah, but they would not even be remembered anymore. None of the former things. The things we would just love to forget about now. One day we will. They won't come back. They won't haunt us. They won't come into our minds. The Bible says they are passed away and even the thought of them. As Isaiah prophesies to us, all the filthy, all the filthiness and all the ugliness that sinful mankind has brought upon this universe is going to disappear. It's going to be burned up, in fact. It's going to go up in smoke. All the results of greedy mankind. All the results of the self-centeredness of the human race. All the results of wanting to be number one in this earth system, in this world system, are going to be removed, they're going to be cleansed, out of sight, out of mind. One day, gone forever. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And then in verses 10 through 14, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation, in all holy lifestyle, conduct, and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Considering these things that are coming to pass shortly, consider what manner of life we should be living. Is what the writer of Scripture is telling us. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look. Are we looking? We are looking for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That goes beyond our comprehension while we're here in this mortal body, this human flesh. What we understand and what we experience in this life, brothers and sisters, sinner friend, is so different than to dwell in a new heaven and a new earth where dwelleth righteousness. We cannot fully comprehend this truth. Wherefore, here again should be our response to the truth of God's word. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, and I trust this morning that we are looking, and indeed our faces are focused on that heavenly city wherein dwelleth righteousness. Beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found in him. Found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Do you have any confidence today Do you have any hope within your soul today that when that day commences, that you indeed can be found in peace with a God that you have sinned against? Do you have that confidence today? Is your soul in such a condition that you can look with confidence to your God accepting you at peace, in peace and without spot, and that there won't be anything to blame you on for? All the things that you've done wrong, you know are not going to follow you into judgment, but they've been passed on before, and they've been paid for. They've been washed away by the blood of Christ. Can you look for this coming day with that confidence and with that true hope within your very being? Or are you troubled at the thought of meeting God? And there's been no peace, there's been no reconciliation. The advocate for your soul has not been accepted. Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to the cross, where salvation is offered? Praise God! Jordan and Melina, Skyler, I've come to the cross. What about you? Have you been baptized? Well, there are at least three that are looking forward to it today. What about you? What about you? Are you a new person? And you remember the day that you came out of the baptismal waters, you died to self. You allowed yourself to be nailed to the very cross of Christ. You said no to the old man, to the old way of life. And you are now experiencing the very truth that those old things have indeed passed away. And behold, you are experiencing a new life in and through the power of Christ. Where are you today? Hebrews 13, verse 14 tells us that here where we're at now, we have no continuing city. What we experience now is going to burn up. It's going to pass away, my friend, my brother, my sister. Here we have no continuing city, but this morning we seek one to come. Through the burdens and the distresses and the trials and troubles of this life, calls us to seek with all our heart a city to come. A city whose builder is and maker is God. Are we seeking things above? Where the blessed Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Are we seeking such a place? Are we preparing for such a place? John 14. Jesus said he'll go and prepare such a place. John 14, the first several verses there. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows you're discouraged. He knows you're tempted. But on top of all that, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't go to that point of utter despair and giving up. Jesus says this morning, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in Jesus. Believe his words. Believe what he's telling you this morning. Jesus is true and faithful. He will bring to pass every promise he has ever given you and me in his word. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Even now I go and prepare a place for you, my beloved children. And if I go and prepare a place for you, just for you, Jesus is preparing a place personally just for you. You have a personal Savior. You have one that wants to be your personal Savior. And he is preparing a place just for you. Oh, the tragedy. If that place that had your name on it remained vacant for the ceaseless ages of eternity. There's a place for you. Jesus makes provision for you. Put your name there. I'll come again, Jesus says. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I am coming again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. One of these days, that promise of Scripture will be fulfilled. And when that time comes, the day of preparing will have passed. Are you ready? An eternal home for the eternal bride of Christ. A holy place. A place totally separate from sin. A place totally separate from all that defiles and makes ugly. This place that Jesus has gone on before to prepare for you and for me. A holy place. We're tired of the old. Are you tired of the old this morning? Are you ready for the new? Praise God, there is a new. If you're indeed tired of the old and you're looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. Verse 3 of our text, Revelation 21. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Behold, the very presence of God is with men. Tabernacle, speaking of the presence, the very presence of God. Oh, that the holy, high and holy and pure, righteous God would dwell with men. Ah, but that's a man, that's a woman, that's a boy, that's a girl who has accepted Christ and has been changed and has received a new body, a spiritual, no more flesh and blood, and God will dwell throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity with that changed, redeemed people. The tabernacle of God with men. This is heaven. This is speaking of the glorified state when we are out of the presence of sin. One of the great purposes of redemption fulfilled. The total, continual, unbroken fellowship and presence of God, enjoyed by his people. Great purpose of the shed blood of Christ, of redemption itself. Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Joy, pleasure, godly pleasure, that which fills a person and satisfies them, now and forever. Verse 4 of our text, and God in whose presence we will dwell, the tabernacle of God is with men, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And may I remind us, as Isaiah told us in his prophecy, not only shall these things pass away, but the very remembrance of things that give us pain, of things that make us sad, the very remembrance is gone in this heavenly state. And you comprehend this morning with me? But I believe it. All tears gone. No more to shed tears because of the agonies and pain and sorrow that this life brings. It's true. It's a day coming. All tears gone. A place where there is no more death. The undertaker will be out of work. No more hearse to back up to a door. Gone! Death gone. No more to plague the human race. Chapter 20 and verse 14. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Sad thing this morning is those outside of Christ are at that point separated eternally from God. No more sorrow. No more tearful goodbyes. Waiting for that glorious morning to reunite. Heaven gets all the sweeter and all the more precious when your mother goes there, when your father goes there, when the brothers and sisters of your fellowship, who we love dearly, are no longer here. But as they have made their peace with God, we have assurance that they went to that heaven, and one day we'll even experience the new. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more hobbling around and getting a knee replaced or a hip replaced, no more of that. There won't be anybody in heaven all of a sudden coming up lame and saying, Lord, I think I need a hip replaced. It's just so different from our way of thinking. We can't comprehend totally this morning. But we can get a glimpse and we can rejoice that that kind of a day is coming. How about a place where there are no more hospitals? You don't hear the wail of the siren anymore and you wonder who took ill. And the siren's coming closer to areas you know loved ones live in. Who is it this time? You'll hear no such siren. Not over there in Glory Land. No more doctor visits. No more cripples, no wheelchairs, no canes, no walkers. In Hallelujah Square, there won't be any of these things. Oh, we'll have a glorious new body. And imagine this fashioned after the very body of Christ. When we shall see him, we shall be like him. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. The question this morning is, are you looking beyond the chains and ropes of the materialistic society that we live in? Or are you looking past your pride and your self-centeredness that you won't even give your heart to Jesus and your hand to the church? Where are we this morning? We have this heaven to look forward to. No more medicine. Oh, did I remember to take that medicine this morning? 10 pills, 15. No more dreaded diseases. In you or in your loved one. No more cancer. To take a wife. A mother. No more. No more sudden heart attacks. No more heart disease. No more hardening of the arteries. Doctor will be out of business. The Christian doctor will be rejoicing. But he doesn't have to look anymore with that sympathy and compassion on one who is ailing. No more Lyme. No more Alzheimer's. No more of these things that mess with our brain and make life miserable. None of this in heaven. It's a glorious place, absent of all these things that torment the human race. Gone. These things will be gone. 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 Forever gone. Passed away, never to be experienced again. Verse 5, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Oh, I believe God, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to thrill. They're going to have a great time just passing out the old and bringing in the new. Making all things new. This, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. What a glorious task to usher in the new. Oh, to make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He cannot lie. When he says it, it will come to pass. He that sits with all power. He says, I am sick of the old. I am going to make it all new. And you know what? It's true. He can't lie. Your politician can say one thing and turn right around and lie to you. They couldn't even tell the truth if they'd want to. They're not capable. But God is true and faithful. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. The Lord Jesus Christ, in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. We can count on every promise in the Holy Scriptures, in the Word of God. God is able. He'll get rid of the old economy. He'll get rid of a failed system. He'll get rid of the old justice system that we know in our society. It's no longer justice so often. He'll get rid of all that because he's able to, and he'll make all things new, and he will be the righteous judge whose word will hold. Verse 6, and he said unto me, as John's revelation continues, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The moment we start to try to earn our salvation, we're lost. Because Jesus Christ stands alone as salvation's door. The shed blood will have nothing added to it. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. It is done. God says it is done. God's eternal plan for a holy people is done. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Salvation's plan. That the perfect Son of God would die for a sinful people. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Salvation's plan done, complete. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning, he is the end. He is the one that we can trust our life with. He knows the beginning from the end. The water of life, salvation, eternal provision. How thirsty are you this morning? Have you taken of the water of life freely this morning? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled where this old world and the flesh have always left us empty. God is able to fill us and satisfy the soul that longeth with good things. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What a thought there. The thought of adoption. The thought of being heirs and receiving an inheritance as sons and daughters of the holy God of all the universe. That's mind-boggling. I'm just going to turn quickly to Romans chapter 8 and let the scripture speak here concerning this great thought of adoption. Romans 8, beginning at verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, we cry, Daddy, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs, if you can imagine such a thing as to be joint heirs with Christ, the very Son of God. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. I don't reckon that the suffering, the writer of Scripture says, is even worthy to be compared with such glory that shall be revealed in us. It's not worthy. No matter what we're going through, no matter how difficult it seems, it's not worthy this morning to be compared to the glory that God has for his faithful children. Not worthy. Glorification. First, you must be justified this morning, friend. Made just as if you've never sinned because of the blood of Jesus being applied to your heart when you accept him as your Lord and Savior and he washes your sin away, you are justified. And then, brother and sister, we need to be sanctified, and these young converts that are going into the baptismal waters today must learn and experience this day by day. Even to the day of Christ's return or to the day they die, sanctification is our lifelong process of saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to the Spirit, and saying no to the flesh. Living a life of sanctification is living a life of holiness, a life of being called out from amongst all the earthly things in this world and being separated unto God. brothers and sisters, the promises to him that overcomes in the book of Revelation. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me. And then it's glorification. And sanctification is power from sin. Free from the power of sin. Justification was free from the condemning power of sin. Sanctification is freedom from the controlling power of sin. And glorification, brothers and sisters, own saved friend, is going to be the absence of the free from the presence of sin. To get to glorification, my friend, we need to get through justification and then allow the Lord to sanctify us as we go down through life. I'm not done. I don't know that anyone is. God deals with us and works with us throughout this life in that sanctification process. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Hallelujah. That as a child of God, we can look forward to awaking someday with his likeness. Praise the Lord. That's beyond our wildest dreams or expectations. But it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Then we will be satisfied. Today it's a daily struggle. But then we will be satisfied when we awake with his likeness. 1 John tells us about that kind of thing in chapter 2. No, it's chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. That's chapter 4. Chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To see Jesus face to face. Heaven, the new Jerusalem, the eternal state, the glorified state. Are you ready to take part? Are you? Every man that hath this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure. I'm not going to close until I read verse 8 of Revelation 21. It's downright amazing that in such a glorious discourse and vision, that there is yet a reminder, yet a warning given in the midst of it. You get past verse 8, and it goes right on back to a glorious description of the heavenly in verses 9 through the end, verse 27. The beauty there. And you know what is the greatest about heaven? I think it's in verse 11. It says, having the glory of God. That's it. And then there's a detailed description down through of the colors and of the materials. And the fact that there's no night there. Jesus Christ shines. And there's no need of the sun. There's no need of the moon. But stuck in the middle of it all is verse 8, my people. Please take heed. But the fearful. You notice the word but. There's a change here. But the fearful. That is the cowardly. That is that person that won't trust his life into the very hands of God. The fearful. The fearful, the one who gave up when man reared his ugly fist in his face with persecution. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the one who never believed in his heart or her heart to the point of accepting Jesus Christ to abide there as Savior and Lord. The unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers. The sexually immoral. The whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, eternal separation from God, eternal suffering. I must remind you this morning that we're talking about heaven. We don't need to go here. But I need to remind us that there's a false yet popular teaching that somehow, some way, through someone, everyone ends up in heaven. My friend, this morning, that is so false. It's utterly false. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. The way of obedience, the way of righteousness, the way of holiness leads to a holy city. Don't fall for the world's lies, and many of them are even on the radio or the TV that you turn on, giving you a false hope, a false gospel. There is one Savior. There is one holy book, the Word of God. And we need to warn us this morning that in the midst of this glorious description of heaven, we have this warning of those that end up in hell, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth.